in your pew Bible. And we're reading Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. This Sunday, and Lord willing next Sunday, I want to focus on the giving of thanks. And then after that, we get into December, and then we move into Advent, and a busy month for us. So today we're in Colossians chapter 3, page 958. We're going to begin reading in verse 12 and read through verse 17. So let's read with thankful hearts today. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thank you. You can be seated. Years ago, I was introduced to the writings of Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen passed away several years ago in 1996. He was a Catholic priest, but he was a prolific writer. One of my favorite books that he wrote was called The Wounded Healer. But what I want to read to you this morning is just an excerpt from a little book he wrote called Bread for the Journey. And he wrote these words: "To be grateful for the good things that happen in our lives is easy. But to be grateful for all our lives, the good as well as the bad, the moments of joy as well as the moments of sorrow, the successes as well as the failures, the rewards as well as the rejections, that requires hard spiritual work. Still, we are only truly grateful people when we can say thank you to all that He has brought to the present moment. As long as we keep dividing our lives between events and people we would like to remember and those we would rather forget, we cannot claim the fullness of our beings as a gift of God to be grateful for. Let's not be afraid to look at everything that has brought us to where we are now and trust that we will soon see it in the guiding hand of a loving God." I want to read that last sentence again. Let's not be afraid to look at everything that has brought us to where we are now and trust that we will soon see it in the guiding hand of a loving God. It seems that Paul had the same mindset in some of his writings. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 16, Paul writes this: "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus regarding you." And then in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Nouwen was right. It is easy for me to be thankful when things are going well. When I receive some unexpected blessing, when something good happens that I was not anticipating, when I received, you know, some gift that I had no idea I was going to receive. It's very easy to be thankful in those times and in those moments. Oh, I'm so thankful for you. Thanks, man. Not only did I forget our tithe check this morning, I forgot my water bottle. So, but it is when things are not going well. It's when you receive bad news. It's when things aren't coming together the way you had anticipated. When you realize that life right now is out of my control. When something happens to someone you love, when you hear from the doctor a diagnosis you did not want to hear, when someone betrays you, when someone breaks your heart, when someone cuts you off and you have no idea why this person ended our relationship, it is very difficult to say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to thank you. So Paul says this, as we read in our text today, let the peace of Christ dwell in you richly. And I think the emphasis should be on the word let. To let means to give opportunity to. To choose not to prevent. To allow. To permit something to enter. Something to pass or something to leave. To let. And so Paul says, let the peace of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, is what the way the New International Version puts it. The New English Translation puts it this way. Let the peace of Christ be in control of your heart. The New King James Version says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The Amplified says this, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with Him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. That word, lets, tells me that I have a role to play. I can let peace rule in my heart, or I can let worry rule in my heart. I can let peace rule in my heart, or I can let anxiety rule in my heart. I can let peace rule in my heart, or I can let fear rule in my heart. I can let peace rule in my heart, or I can let anger rule in my heart. I make the choice. I'm the one who opens and closes the door. I can choose to let peace come in. I can choose to refuse to allow peace to come into my heart. I can choose to live in anxiety. I can choose to live down in the dumps. I can choose to live in depression. I can choose to live with a gloomy outlook on life. I can choose to live thinking that I'll never get over this. I can choose to live in anger and frustration. Or I can choose to let the peace of God rule in my heart. There's always a link between peace and praise. And that link is my will. What I choose to do. What I choose, the decision I make, the choice that I make. The psalmist put it this way. Psalm 34:1. I will praise the Lord at all times. My mouth will continually praise Him. Psalm 35, verse 28, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Hebrews 13, verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess His name. It's a choice that I make. I choose to let the peace of God rule in my heart, and by doing so, it creates praise. It causes praise to begin to rise up within me. But I'm the one who makes that decision. I'm the one who makes that choice. I'm the one who decides whether I will let peace rule or I'm the one who chooses that to not let peace rule in my heart. And if peace is going to rule in my heart, it means it's going to reign, R-E-I-G-N. It's going to have dominion. It is going to take over. It is going to be in control of my life. Paul he's laying out a pattern for us to see. First of all, when he says let, he's letting us know that the choice is on me. I'm the one who makes the decision. But then he moves it even further. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So once again, it puts the impetus back on me. Who am I going to let rule? What am I going to let rule my life? Some choose to let this rule their life or that rule their life. I can't stop that. I have no control over that. I'm a victim of that. And so that is what we let rule in our heart. And it's what we let rule in our lives. Well, I can't help it. This is the way my mama was. And I can't help it. And pardon me for saying this, but you know I'm a redhead. I can't help it. I have no control over it. Paul said, goes directly contrary to that. Thank you, Kathy, for throwing a hymnal at me. And so we take on the victim mentality. I can't help it. I can't help myself. I can't do it on my own. I can't make that choice. And Paul comes right at that and says, oh no. You let peace rule in your heart, have dominion. Because you see, praise creates an atmosphere, just like worry and anxiety create an atmosphere. They create the atmosphere that you choose to live in. Do I choose to live in an atmosphere of peace and God's grace and thanksgiving, or do I choose to live in an atmosphere of down in the dumps and always seeing the bad thing and always complaining and always feeling like I have no control? What atmosphere do I want to live in? I can tell you, I want to live in this one right here. I want to live in the atmosphere where peace is ruling my heart. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to have problems. Doesn't mean things aren't going to come. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have sorrow. It doesn't mean I'm not going to face difficulties and face situations. But it means that I make a decision that, God, I don't like what I'm going through. This is difficult. This is not what I would have chosen. But by faith, I'm going to declare that you are my God. And so I accept the peace that you're in control. I can remember when I lived in Baltimore, I had a beautiful pearl white Nissan 350Z. It was a car I had wanted since I was 16 years old. The first one I ever saw was a blue Datsun 240Z sitting in the showroom of courtesy Oldsmobile and Datsun out on West Tennessee Street. I lusted after it. I coveted it. I wanted it. My dad said, no, you can't have it. But I always wanted one. And I had one, with just the way I wanted it. And it was snowing in Baltimore. And I shouldn't have been out driving in Baltimore, but I thought I was supposed to go to work that morning. And I got there and nobody else was there. And they said, go home. The office is closed today. And so I left. And so one of the guys at the church told me, he said, before you go home, fill up your car with gas and buy toilet paper. I had no idea why I needed those two things, but that's what he told me, and he had lived in Baltimore all his life. So the first thing I decided to do was stop and get the gas. And as I turned into the gas station, I hit ice, and my car started sliding. And I realized, I found out why they put those big concrete pylons around gas tanks is for people driving in Baltimore who shouldn't be driving. And man, I tore up the front of my car. But the part I remember was holding onto that steering wheel and turning the wheel one way, and we kept going another way. And you know what? I have felt that in life as well. I felt that in life as well. I wasn't speeding. I wasn't going over the speed limit. I saw all the snow that was piled up there, and I realized I've got to be careful here because there's snow here. But I hit something that I couldn't see. That ever happened in your life before? Where you run into something you didn't anticipate, you didn't know it was coming, you didn't see it ahead. And all of a sudden, you have to decide, what am I going to let rule in my heart? Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? And he followed that up in John 14:27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Paul picked up on that in Philippians chapter 4, beginning verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then I love this next part. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Boy, Paul laid it out there for us, didn't he? Bring your requests to God. Tell him. Tell him what's going on in your life. Bring your requests before God. Bring the prayers. Bring the petitions. But then he says, add a little thanksgiving. I've been thinking about it all last week, I guess because we're heading into Thanksgiving. And my mom probably had 3 cookbooks in her house, and she used none of them. I remember one time there was a lady in our church selling cookbooks, and mom bought one from her. And then one time we were somewhere, and it was the Better Homes and Gardens, I guess, Christmas cookbook, and it was red and had a piece of cake right on the front. I said, Mom, buy that book and bake that cake. Well, she bought the book. She put it up in the pantry and never pulled it out. And I would ask my mom, Mom, how do you make this? There were certain things my mom made that I keep asking my sister, can you make that? And she's like, Mom never told me how to make that. I can remember going in the kitchen sometimes and say, Mom, how do you make that? You know what she'd say? Well, you put in a little of this, a little of that. And you know what? You know what Paul's saying here? He's saying by every situation, put in a little prayer. Put in a little bit of petition. Add a dash of thanksgiving. And you know what comes out of it, he says? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Just a little prayer, a little petition, and just a dash of thanksgiving. And Paul said, when you get through and you open the oven, look what's there, the peace of God. And then lastly, Paul said, let the peace of God or peace of Christ, and then he said, let it rule in your hearts. And then he added the last little thing, and be thankful. Nouwen was correct when he wrote these words. Still, we are only truly grateful people when we can say thank you to all that has brought us to this present moment. This week I was reading Psalm 84. In the beginning of verse 4, the psalmist said this, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. And I looked up the Hebrew word Baca, B-A-K-A, and it means weeping. So the psalmist was saying this: when you pass through the valley of tears, when you pass through the valley of weeping, when you pass through the valley of sorrow, make it a spring. Make it a spring. Make it a gushing spring that is just percolating and bubbling up. So the question I ask you today is this: in this season of Thanksgiving, are you passing through the valley of weeping? Are you walking through the valley of Baca? Are you struggling to find the peace of God? Are you struggling to say, God, I don't like where I'm at, but I thank you that no matter where I'm at, you're there? Think about the blessings that have come into your life that you would have never known if you first didn't have to walk through the valley of Baca. Think of the blessings that have come into your life that you would have never known if you hadn't have come to that place where you fell on your face and said, God, I can't take it anymore. I've got to have you. And you heard him say, you've got me, and I've got you. And now you're on the other side of it, and you're looking back, and you're saying, God, look how blessed I am. Ron's coming to lead us in our closing little chorus, and it's called Through It All. But I want to read to you the words of the last verse that Andre Crouch wrote. He said, so I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that he could solve them, and I would have never seen what faith in God could do. Gracious Father, we choose to be thankful. We choose to let the peace of God rule in our hearts and to be thankful. We live in a world, Father, in which there is no peace. We live in a world in which there is rioting and demonstrations and anger and war and rumors of war. We live in a world, Father, in which there is very little gratitude. That there is more griping and complaining and backbiting and blaming than there is gratitude. Lord, there is no country in the world that you have blessed like this country, and yet we have become some of the most ungrateful people who have ever walked on the earth. We have become those, Lord, who look at your blessings and feel like we are now entitled to be taken care of. We're entitled to have someone solve our problems. We're entitled to have this and that, and yet we never say thank you. But Father, that is not what we choose. We choose to say, I will thank you for the mountains, but I'll also thank you for the valleys. I'll thank you for the beautiful days when the sea is as calm as glass, but I'll also thank you for the storms when I cry out and say, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm going to perish. Through it all, Lord, you have brought us and you have been faithful. And this week, we choose to not keep our thanks, but to give our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.